Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow with just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hi, this is Lisa Dreyer with MESS with MS, and I would like to welcome everyone who has joined me in the studio tonight. I'm sorry for the delay that we had in the start of the show. So you are listening to MESS with a MESS with me, your host, Lisa Dreyer. Tonight, we are having Tammy M. Reed Frey and Colin guests. So, Tammy, can you please say hi to everyone?
Hello. How is everybody?
Hi. And I think someone else is here tonight. Is someone else on the line?
I don't know.
Yes. Yes.
Who's calling?
832 Crystal.
Oh, hi, Crystal.
Hi, Crystal.
Nice to hear from you. Well, I would like to extend my welcome to you guys tonight. If I could start the show really quickly and just talk about what I usually talk about really quickly, and then if you have any questions, Crystal, we can answer them. And then I want to talk to Tammy about her experience with MS. I'd like to first state that no one's opinions on the show, personal history, symptomology listed here applies to your cases. And while I may have some exciting guests here, they're not experts unless stated. But no matter what, no one is an expert in your medical treatment. So while my show may be educational, entertaining, or even inspirational, please consult your medical care team before you make changes that may adversely affect you. God bless you. You seem to have a cold. Are you okay?
It's me. I'm getting over a cold. It's Tammy, yeah.
Yeah. It's a hard time of the year for cold.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being with us no matter what.
thank you.
And I'd like to also talk about the Brain Injury Radio Network, who hosts the show. They're now excited to offer the They're excited to offer the new Survivor ID. They're attractive cards, and they include your photo, date of birth, address, phone number, personal statistics, and emergency contact information. There is a variety of cards to choose from at www.survivorid.org. You may also call 855-473-3711 to place your order. Protect yourself now for only $19.95. A portion of the proceeds will be returned to the Brain Injury Radio Network to help keep the lights on. Again, that website is www.survivorid.org, and the phone number is 855-473-3711. Don't miss out. So I'd like to ask Crystal if she has any questions for Tammy or myself really quickly.
You have any questions?
Do you have any questions about multiple sclerosis? Or would you like to just listen to the interview and then we can have you ask questions later? If you have any questions.
I'll listen to the interview and ask questions later. It's a really long day.
Okay, well, then I'm going to put your speaker on hold. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. You're the 832 number, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you very much for calling in, Crystal.
Thank you. I really
appreciate it. Okay. Me... get to the fun stuff. Tammy, I've known you for a really long time. I was just talking to my boyfriend about that I've known you for since I think I was like 22. I know. And I'm going to be turning 35. You work right near, or worked, I don't know where you work now, you work right near where my best friend lives. And all my friends used to go to, you're a bartender.
Yeah.
And my friends all used to go to your bar to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
I spent a lot of my youth interacting with you. And and a lot of my friends are very vivacious people and pretty and interesting and social girls, and all of them are bartenders. Imagine that.
We all fit together.
Two of my best friends I know love you to the ends of the earth. So I'm sure they will be listening to this later. And Stephanie Nathalie King, she was like, you need to have Tammy on your show. And because she thinks you are just amazing. So. And
it's true.
And
it's
a lot of people do. So. And that's pretty awesome. And I know that when I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and people told me that you were sick, I was shocked.
Yeah.
I had no idea that someone could have multiple sclerosis and be as together as you are.
Thank you.
I've learned a little bit since then, because I've met all kinds of people. But you are very active. You're very, like I was saying, you're very vivacious. You're really you seem incredibly healthy, so no one would know that you were sick if they were to look at you.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's a really wonderful thing, because I was sick for like 15 years, and no one would give me the time of day and tell me what was wrong.
Wow.
And I got a lot of you're crazy or, you know, you're on drugs.
Nice.
That's not cool.
No.
And it turns out that I have lupus and multiple sclerosis, and I was born with a brain injury. So I actually was very sick. And by the time they diagnosed me, they said I had the most clear-cut case of MS they had ever seen, and they couldn't imagine why anyone had never diagnosed me prior to that. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So you've had it for a long time.
I had it for a very long time.
Yeah, before you were even diagnosed.
I might have had it since
you were feeling.
School.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like since I was 18.
Oh, wow.
And, or earlier than that, they looked at the scarring on my brain and said, this scarring is so old.
Wow.
But, you know, it's really about how you treat yourself now.
Yeah.
That's what I've learned.
It's
about how you live your life
and
how you approach yourself. I mean, I want to be happy and I want to be healthy.
That's
different for everybody, I think.
And it's positive attitude helps.
Yes. That is, I think that's the number one thing, is to be positive.
Yep.
And different for everyone what that means, but I know that if you're not positive, that's the killer. That is the not
very
positive.
True.
Not being positivity kind of is like the mind killer, or not having positivity. So I want to talk to you about when were you diagnosed?
I have a funny story. It's I was diagnosed, believe it or not, 9/11.
Oh wow!
And yeah, I was on
something
a roundabout.
Something you'll never forget.
Yeah, and anybody will.
No.
The date nobody will forget. That's true. And so when I throw out that date, it's pretty ironic because of the date. And I was, they didn't know what I had either. And I was feeling all these crazy symptoms and this and that. And finally ended up at UCLA. And as soon as the doctor saw my MRI, he says, "You have MS." And I said, "Wow. Okay." And they threw around all these other things that they thought that I might have before that, and the doctor said, "No, it's unquestionable you have MS." So and that was the diagnosed date. And from then on, I went back to my regular neurologist at that time, and he had said that I should go on some steroids. And at that time, I didn't know anything about steroids, didn't know what they would do. And he sort of gave me a roundabout thing, and he says they could do help for you or they might not do any help for you. And in my case, it just made me crazy, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Steroids was not a good choice for my body, and I vowed ever since then to never do it again, and I haven't. And then I went on Copaxone for a little while, was on that for about 3 or 4 years, and I saw no difference. I felt no difference when I was taking that, and it was just robbing my bank account, mine and my husband's, and it was very expensive, even though we got a little help from an organization that helped us out. But and so I cut myself off of that, too, and was doing okay for a good few years. And then 10 years came up on my anniversary date since I was diagnosed, and that's when I had another relapse. So, and my relapse lasted that time, maybe a couple of months. And my relapse before that, when I was in it before, 10 years when I was diagnosed, it lasted months. So the second time when I, after 10 years, when I went to the relapse, I had met a holistic doctor. And he had told me all these little things that I could do and take. And so I did. I followed up everything that he told me to do. And that's why I think that my relapse only lasted a couple months, if that. I mean, that would down to where I couldn't walk. That's how bad it was. And I followed all of his instructions.
Yeah, I've had to relearn how to walk twice.
Yeah. And that's not fun, you know? So I've been taking all of his supplements since then and have not had any issues. But then again, they say it's every 10 years. Let me see. I haven't hit my 10-year point yet since my last one, so.
Well, and if it's every 10 years, I mean, that's wonderful. Think about it. I mean, since my diagnosis, I've had four relapses almost, five. That's just insanity. I mean, it wasn't a relapse, but this last one is, lung disease, so I mean, but I was still, I had a hospitalization, so it's, you know, I mean, it's just insanity.
It's not fun to go through, and it's quite a roller coaster ride that you, it's hard to explain to people that have never gone through it. And when we try to tell them, it's like you can't see it on the outside, but we can feel it on our insides, you know. And it's
very much
it's almost like it's a crazy disease because you can't describe it to anybody that doesn't know what it is. So you know, and that's why people think sometimes that we're crazy because of what it does. Because
there's
totally
so
look good
many
from
different
the
things that it does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You look amazing. I mean,
I
have certain issues sometimes where I walk funny, and that really bothers me because, you know, I was an actress and all that, and. I don't want to walk funny. I'm very conscious of, like, of how I present myself. And, you know, I think, how are people looking at me right now? Because I'm staggering around, you know? So it's difficult.
I've been there. I know. It's hard to go through when you're going through it. It's very difficult. And then when people see that you're going, when you go through that, then that upsets them. And then they see, okay, this is what you're talking about, and then this is the extreme that it gets. So, because our extreme is, it doesn't last. It'll subside, and then we'll look better again, and then it looks like it's gone away, but we can still feel it on the inside, and you know, it's just, it's crazy. It's a crazy disease.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So, you have relapsing remitting MS. So, do your symptoms come and go, or do you have a break from them? Like, some people say that they have a break sometimes. And, you know, like, they get better and worse. But, I mean, when I was told that I had relapsing remitting, I thought, oh, great, sometimes I'm going to feel healthy. And I was so happy about it. But that's not the case. I mean, I figured out, but, you know, for me, personally.
Right. No, I don't, I can't say I feel that, because I can say, yeah, well, you know what? If you really think about it, yeah, it's a little roller coaster. Sometimes it's like you don't feel that it's there, and then you think about it, and it's, oh, yeah, it's there. So, it's,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You're in your own head, and then if you think about it, you can feel it. But if you don't think about it, it's not there, but it is there, you know? And we feel the symptoms, and when we're doing something and we're not paying attention to what we're feeling, and then something happens, it's like, oh, that's why.
Yeah.
Right? Do you feel that too?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you feel like sometimes, can you feel there's a shift in how you think sometimes? Like, you're walking around and you just feel like your brain kind of does this thing where all of a sudden it's like an empty space, or...
Oh, yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're kind of lost. It's so hard to describe to other people.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
And then it goes away, but it's just, it's so strange. And I sit there sometimes and I think, like, I wonder if, like, in a couple of years, this will be how it will be all the time.
Right.
And then I have to, like, make that thought go away, because I can't think like that.
No.
I know... Can't. That I cannot think like that.
Right. And you're
you
young,
you know. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How old are you?
I'm 34. I'm turning 35.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just turned 52. So, yeah.
That's
unbelievable,
by the way.
Thank you.
Unbelievable.
We're only as old as we feel, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Some days I feel older, but there's other days where it's like,
I feel like I have this issue. I had it for a long time. I continually thought I was 26. What age did I think it was? And I knew that I had birthdays, and I knew that I was turning 30 or whatever. But, like, I would keep telling people, oh, yeah, I'm 28 or 26 or whatever. And so, like, finally this year when I realized, you know, I'm turning 35, I was like, man, I'm 35. Where did
nice.
All this time go?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so amazing.
We blink, that's what happens. Yeah. It's like watching your kids grow up, and you never thought about it, and when your parents used to say it, and then when you live it, watching your kids grow, it's quite amazing.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm sure.
My daughter's 23, and it blows my mind how she's 23. She was just a baby a minute ago, wasn't she?
Was it difficult raising your daughter since you were sick?
You know what? I had found out when I was in my 30s, and by then she was, you know, about 7-8 years old. So it wasn't, I can't say it was, because I kept doing the same thing I was doing. And then soon after that, I had left my business because it was just too much for me to do. I had a thriving pet grooming salon, and I did that for almost 25 years, and it took a lot out of me because it was very physical. So I had to quit doing that because of the physical aspect of it. So, and I raised my daughter at work with me when, you know, before she went to school, and then now she went to school, I was, you know, taking care of her after school at work too. So it really wasn't an issue with her.
People don't think about how being a mother is such a hard job. It is a really difficult job.
Can be.
Yeah, it can. I was a nanny for a long time. So, I know that it can be very difficult, and I give a lot of credit to people who are full-time moms and who work as well, or you know, moms who work. It's, you know, they're super people.
Right. Yeah. And, of course.
How long had you been feeling differently before you were diagnosed?
Differently. Mine goes in waves. You know, it just that there's certain feelings where it's like, you know, it surprises you when it's new, and then it's like, oh wait, that's got to be the MS because it, you know, normal people wouldn't feel this, you know. And then there's other feelings to where it's like, live with it. I'm living with it. Just gotta live with it, you know?
And were you always generally like a pretty happy and healthy person before you were diagnosed?
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Some people like have lots of experiences with depression, and I think that doesn't help with their diagnosis.
I went through that too. Went through a lot of that when I was first diagnosed because I didn't know what I had. And so when you don't know what's going on, it's all a surprise because you have no idea what's going on. So, and it's scary.
Do you think
it's
that
very
it's
scary.
Helpful to find out as much as you can? Or
do
you think that,
you have to find out. You have to, be an advocate to yourself and to help people understand what you're going through too, and just keep going. Just keep going. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's not the same, you know. We're all different, you know, but my my way of looking at myself is MS has got me. I don't have MS. Or
that's
I have
very
MS.
True.
MS doesn't have me. Yeah. So I try to beat the thought in my head that it doesn't have me. I've got it. So, you know.
Yeah, that's very true.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you have anyone in your family with health issues? Maybe not MS particularly, but.
I had a brother that passed away at 22 of cancer. I had, you know, of course, grandmother, grandfather, you know, had different health problems and, you know, this and that. And my parents, you know, they're not healthy, but they're nothing in particular. My dad's borderline diabetic, you know, but that's due to weight, you know, so there's things that can fix it, but, you know, this is what happens.
Yeah. Aging is rough. That's very true. Have you had problems receiving insurance? Like, you were talking about that earlier, but can you tell me a little bit about your experience with insurance and multiple sclerosis as far as it applies to you?
Yeah. Insurance was very difficult to get, and then it wasn't that it was difficult to get; it was just very expensive because I had a pre-existing condition, and having a pre-existing condition, it was just astronomical price. You know, it was crazy enough to where it was like I had to go without insurance because of it, and then Obamacare came along and. Then that's how we got insurance, my husband and I, and it helped us. So
yeah, it's helped a lot of people.
Mhm. Mhm.
I'm very lucky because I got my insurance a long time ago, and it wasn't even for my multiple sclerosis. But I had pre-existing conditions, so I didn't really need to declare my multiple sclerosis. And in fact, when I went to the Social Security office and tried to tell them, you know, I need to say that I have multiple sclerosis, they were like, no, you don't. It won't change anything.
They didn't
care.
I know, they don't. They don't have any mercy. And I am, as a matter of fact,
told me that when I was blind, if it caused me to be blind, then I should come in and tell them. But that was about it.
Wow. Oh, wow. Wow.
So,
that's pretty sad.
Yeah. It was kind of a kick in the groin to the least.
Right.
I do know people who have lost their vision in that extent.
I do too. Yeah, it's very difficult.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
So.
So to hear that was a big welcome to working with the system.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of an appeal myself because of it, so.
Yeah, well, good luck.
Yeah, I know, huh?
good luck.
Yeah, it's a very tough thing.
Did you get a lawyer or
are
you
working on
it yourself? Yeah.
I was doing it by myself, and then it just got to be too much, and so I ended up getting help for that.
Yeah,
so,
hopefully. I cannot do things like that by myself. It overwhelms me incredibly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's very overwhelming.
I just start panicking. Like.
Oh, yeah.
I look at the paperwork and it's like my brain goes away.
I know. I started feeling that way too. So that's when I said, okay, I'm over this. I need to have help with this.
Yeah.
So.
What symptoms did you have when you were diagnosed?
I was falling down, and out of nowhere, I'd be walking, and all of a sudden, I'd be on the ground.
Yeah.
And,
not fun.
I would pee on myself. I'd have accidents. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing, and I didn't know what was wrong with me.
So.
Yeah, I had no idea what was wrong with me, and I went through that countless times. Even still, I still go through it, and it surprises me, and I never know when it's going to happen. And
Have you looked into things like Botox and all that to get help?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No, that I have
I've
not
done. I've
done
a lot of research because I have groups, and people always ask me about, you know, incontinence issues and bowel problems, and there's so much that you can do. Not that it works for everyone, but it's very interesting. I know that I'm going to have Botox in my neck and forehead for my migraines because my doctors are at the point where they're basically like, we can't do anything, but this is the last thing that we can try.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Wow.
And I'm like, you want to put Botox in my face? Go ahead.
Hey. I'll be a guinea pig to that, too. Hey, at my age, I'll take anything like that, you know?
Right.
That's
funny.
That is.
Okay.
I know, right? So you have no children, do you?
I don't. And
you don't.
Actually, when I got really sick, I was working as nanny, and the family that I was working for came to the hospital and begged my mother to have me come back to work. And
oh my
she
gosh.
Said, Lisa can't come in. She can't come work. She's so sick. I mean, like, I don't remember, but
oh
apparently
my gosh.
I was conscious at the time and was like, no,
wow.
You know, I can't work. But, I mean, I loved them, you know. And
uh-huh,
I worked full-time as a live-in nanny a couple of times. And I love kids. But
what?
I was told that I could not have children before I was diagnosed because the gynecologist just kept saying, we don't know what's wrong with you, but something is wrong. And we don't recommend that you carry a baby to term because it could possibly kill you. So that's where I was. But now that I know that I have MS, I mean, it might change things.
Yeah.
And so I have a little time.
Right. I've heard that if you give birth, that or once you're when you're pregnant, all your symptoms will go away. This is what I've heard.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's true or not, but this is the things that I've heard.
That's
so.
What they say about lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis. I've heard that about all three of those diseases.
Right.
Also, I've heard that after the birth, though, that you do go into usually an exacerbation.
Right.
So you'd get really sick, probably more so than you usually would. So that would be hard because you'd want to be with your baby. So
right.
You'd have to find someone to take care of your child while you were sick. And, you know, all that.
I had a friend that got pregnant, and she had MS, and it was not the same as what you and I have. She has the other kind or whatever it was. I don't really know exactly the, because I think there's, three kinds?
Yeah.
I believe there's three kinds.
Yeah, and there's like one, there's three kinds, but there's a branch of one that's very rare.
Oh, okay.
But yes, technically there's three.
right. And she got pregnant and had her baby, and she got worse. And it was pretty sad, and she was sort of not, she was walking before she got pregnant, and then while she was pregnant, sort of worse, and then after she had the baby, it really got worse, and now she's in a wheelchair. It's really bad for her now, and I feel really bad for her, and she's actually she's a good friend of mine's sister, and that's how I know her. And she had always asked me questions on this and that, and I told her what I do, and I said, but I don't think I have the same kind you have, you know? So, yeah. So
you'd have to be really on the level with your neurologist, and your gynecologist, and your primary care doctor. I mean, I'm at the Cleveland Clinic, and they know everything about me, and I go to so many doctors. they know me so well. That between them and CVS, when I go to CVS, they know Chris and I and my boyfriend, and they say, oh, hi, Lisa. It's so funny. It's like coming home to family by now. And at the Cleveland Clinic, it's the same thing, that people are like, people know us, and they're so friendly there. And it's such a huge place, so it's funny that they recognize us and know who we are. And I guess it's because, you know, we're a couple that walk around and, you know, all that. But, so it's kind of sweet because we go and we check in together all the time.
Yeah, he has it too, right? Yeah. So that's, how is that in your household?
It is, you know what, it is great, because we love each other and we understand each other.
Oh, yeah.
And he understands what I'm going through. And truthfully, I'm sicker than he is.
Oh, okay.
And he's much more physically able to do things than I am. But, and I'm the kind of person who naturally has some guilt, but, like, about what I can and cannot do. But we're so open with each other and we talk about everything. So,
good.
You know, we always talk it out and we don't argue. We don't fight. We talk. I mean, sometimes we have strident conversations.
Right,
but,
of course.
I think we have a really good relationship. Really, really good. And we really love each other. And it really helps. And it helps that he knows what I'm going through. And, like, before, you know, he made dinner before I went on air. And he knew, you know, what I needed. And he's wonderful. He's wonderful.
Aww.
And
that's
I'm
good.
Very, very grateful. And, you know, he always says to me, you know, I'm so thankful that you are here, because we found each other online in my in my group. I created a group for people to meet each other. It wasn't for me. I created a group for MSers to talk to each other. And it wasn't really for dating in the beginning, but it became a dating group. And I guess I invited Chris, and I saw Chris, and I started talking to him, and I told him, I went to his page, and I told him, you know, we have a lot in common. And that started something. And he
there
ended
you go.
Up coming to Arizona and taking me out on, like, the two most perfect dates ever.
Aww.
And, yeah, it was great. And so now I live in Ohio. Who would have thunk it? So, it's
cold weather, but
it's wonderful.
Keep each other comfortable.
Yeah, it's great. It's wonderful. And so far we've gone, and I went and I sold my trailer that I used to travel in, and he helped me with that. And we went to Florida, and I got to see Stephanie, you know, and she's my best friend, and you know her very well. And got to see her, and she's been settling down, and that's so nice. And,
yeah,
she's
like a daughter to me.
Yeah, I know. And so that's another reason why I'm so glad I get to talk to you right now.
Yeah.
And I would like to talk about the things you enjoy. Like, what do you like to do? I mean, like, aside from MS.
I'm in the summertime, I'm a boater, and off times I like to hike, I like to bicycle, I like to keep very active, and yes, I do have my moments to where it's hard to even do that, but I pick myself up and go and do, and excuse me, and and do my thing, you know. And there are times where it's hard, where I can't do it, and I'll just take an hour or two off or a couple days off, or if it takes longer, I'll take that off too and do it. And then get right back to what I love to do.
That's so fantastic. Yeah. I'll never forget. I remember there was this time when I was in the 12th grade, I think,
mm-hmm.
and I was with all my girlfriends. I had like five of us, so...
Mm-hmm.
I had four really close girlfriends in high school. They were fabulous people. And we went to Malibu Canyon or...
Oh, yeah.
Runyon Creek, I don't know, somewhere, for hiking.
Mm-hmm.
And I suddenly, like, we were hiking up the hill. Suddenly, I had stopped. I couldn't go up anymore. And everyone attributed it to me being, unable to do heights. But
wow.
I really think that it had something to do with my MS. And
absolutely.
I kept thinking about that happening. Like, I mean, because they almost called the paramedics because I could
yeah.
not walk. I mean, it was,
yeah.
I was like, I'm not moving. This is over.
It's happened to me. It's happened to me. It's happened to me even on my hikes. I'll just sit down and just rest because I know what's going to happen. If I keep going, I'll fall down. But if I sit down and take a, you know, good 10-minute rest, I'll get up, but I'll be able to finish it. And if it's too far, I'll just keep resting and keep resting and keep resting. So, and I did the Grand Canyon last summer, and that was
wow.
a long hike. That was a very long hike. It was a 14-mile in,
yeah.
and I trained a long time just to do it because that was my bucket list to accomplish because of my situation with MS and because I just always had wanted to see the Grand Canyon, and I did it, and I hiked in. Hiking in, you wouldn't think that it was hard. It would be hard because it's pretty much all downhill, but it's walking and walking and walking and walking and under different terrains like rocks and sand that feels like it's powder and like you're walking, you know, on the beach on loose sand, and that takes a lot out of you. It's a lot of muscle work. And
mm-hmm.
it was difficult, and I had to stop. I can't even tell you how many times after the I would say the 8-mile mark. And, you know, I had great people that were with me. One of the girls that was with me, she works for a neurologist, so she knows the symptoms of MS. So, and then my hike I did today, I did it with her, and she understands all the symptoms of MS. So she was great to have, and she had to explain to other people how and why I was feeling the way I did. So... It was an experience to do the Grand Canyon, and I'm training to do it again. That's how much I enjoyed it. I didn't
That's
hike
amazing.
Out. Yeah, I didn't make the hike out. I couldn't do it. I already knew I couldn't hike it out. If I barely hiked it in, I knew I wasn't going to be able to hike it out.
Yeah.
So we ended up taking a helicopter out, which was fun too. So,
yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah.
that's amazing. Have you seen that movie with, it just came out with Robert Redford, and it's about taking the, oh my gosh, I have to think about the name of it. But there's been a couple of great movies recently that I've watched that are all about people who, have experiences that they need to take, you know, spiritual
mm-hmm.
paths by actually
oh, yeah.
walking. And so
yeah.
I keep going, oh my gosh, I gotta do this journey.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I have a major drop foot in my right side. I didn't present with any MS symptoms until I presented with that.
Oh, wow.
And actually, that was my first symptom. I started walking really funny.
That was me, too. I had the same symptom.
Yeah, and it still is present. And sometimes it's worse than others.
Mm-hmm.
I had to learn how to walk twice. And I had to learn how to write again because it was on my right side.
Wow.
I had to learn how to cut my food and eat and do everything.
Oh, yeah.
And right now,
mm-hmm.
because of the pneumonia, I mean, it's affecting my speech. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's really a snowflake disease, and it really affects what it wants to. But I tried on they go around your leg. It's for mobility. And it helped me walk. It helped me walk better than I was able to walk in such a long time. But now I'm actually walking much faster and much better than I have in quite some time. Sometimes. Other times, I don't, and I can't. But you know what's funny? When I went to Florida, I started walking really fast, and I don't know whether it was the weather or what, but have you had that experience that sometimes you have more ability in your walking?
Mm-hmm. Do better in cooler weather.
Yeah.
I do much better in cooler weather than I do in hotter weather. I love the heat. I love going out. Like I said, I'm a boater, so I'm always out in the heat when we're boating, but I have to be always next to where I can cool off, like in the water or something, you know. I can't be sitting. I mean, I can sit and sunbathe. I can do that. That does not bother me, believe it or not. But I can't, like, do physical work to where my body's going to get fatigue. And if I do, it slows me down. I can't walk. And forget getting in a jacuzzi. That would just send me, I'll go to the hospital probably. Yeah, that's like a death wish.
Oh, yeah.
And I've always loved to do
that.
Yeah, it was horrible. One time I tried it, and they said, oh, we'll just help you get out. And it's like, okay. They did. They helped me get out. It's like, okay, you knew. I told you I couldn't walk after this. And they were like, wow, it just does that to you. It's like, yeah, it does. Yeah. So, but, yeah, it's crazy that the weather can make a big difference, a huge difference.
Yeah, it's cold here. It was like 8 degrees, and I'm walking real fast. As long as
mm-hmm.
there's not snow
mm-hmm.
on the ground, because I try really, you know, you have to balance in a certain way
mm-hmm.
when there's snow. And I think
you
have to be
horrible.
Yeah, you have to be especially careful if there's snow underneath you.
Right. Of course.
like you, I grew up in California, so
mm-hmm. I didn't.
You didn't grow up in California?
No, I know I didn't. No, I grew up in the state of Washington.
Oh, okay.
And I've been here. Yeah, I've been here 33, almost 34 years, but I've lived here longer here than I did up there. I moved here when I was 18, so yeah. But
you're used to weather that is it rains there a lot. I know that.
Oh yeah, and it's cold.
And there is snow sometimes.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not
not where you are.
The weather there is strange.
It's completely different. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't really explain the weather in Washington to anyone. It's just the Pacific Northwest is strange.
It is.
That's all you can say. The weather
That's true.
the Pacific Northwest, it's a great place in some ways, but, you know, yeah. It's beautiful when it's not raining.
Right. Oh, yeah, totally.
And there are some nice people there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I still have really good friends that still live up there, and, you know, I speak to all of them, you know, thank God through Facebook and, you know, through all these fun things that we've got, and social media is great when it comes to that, you know. So, very fortunate to have really good friends.
Yeah. Do you talk to anyone in the MS community on social media?
I do. I have before. Yeah, I'm on a MS site that I see on Facebook periodically, and I'll write down something every once in a while. I'll do a comment on it, you know, if it relates to me. So yeah.
Do you find that helpful?
I do. I like reading through some of it too. You know, just to see, you know, how. You know, different things are helping different people. They're saying avocados. They're saying, you know, stay away from, what is it, coconut oil. But I like coconut oil. So that hasn't really affected me. So, yeah. So, I mean, I rub it all over me and I cook with it. So, yeah. But there's, like I said, there's different things for different people, you know. So you can take out and hold on to whatever is good for you.
Have you changed anything in your diet or in how you live or anything like that because of your multiple sclerosis?
Yes and no. I mean, I'm not a crazy bad eater. I mean, yeah, we do have good stuff and, you know, junk here and there. I don't eat fast food at all. That I don't do. You know, I'll get a sweet tooth here and there, and I'll if I crave something, I'll eat it, you know.
Yeah.
Other than that, no. Yeah, I'd say I'm pretty healthy eater.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Most Americans aren't.
I know. That's very true.
Can you tell me how you train for something like going and walking the Grand Canyon? That's amazing.
Basically what I do, I'm hiking almost every day now, and I'll train between now and June when we go, and getting my strength going. And I'm doing this crazy hill right now that's really, really good. And it's all cardio, basically. And it's all uphill. And it's a 1 mile up and 1 mile down. But it's almost about a two and a half mile hike. Excuse me. And I train doing that. And last year I didn't train doing this hill as much as I'm going to do it now this year, because now I know the what I need to train for to do the Grand Canyon, because I've done it now. So,
yeah.
You know, just gotta keep going. And if I stop, that means I'm, you know, three steps back. You know, keep training ahead for. I can't stop now because my momentum is good. You know, my legs are getting healthy and they're strong, but I do get tired and fatigued while I'm on a hike too. But I still
do
it.
Everyone does. I mean,
yeah.
Because I mean, you are training your body, and your body remembers, and it becomes, I mean, It's a tool just like any other. I mean,
right.
So I think that's amazing. I think that's really cool personally. I used to do the stairs in Malibu, and I used to do the stairs at UCLA. I was big, really, really, really into exercising. And then it started hurting my feet so bad to run that I stopped. And, you know, I didn't even know why, but I stopped. And it was unfortunate, but I did it. So I'd like to start up again. I saw this exercise machine the other day. That was so cool. You could lean back in it. I'd never seen anything like that. And paddle at the same time. It was $4,000, so I don't think I'm going to be buying it anytime soon.
That's right.
But it was really cool, and it seemed like it was good for exercising, and that anyone
right.
could use it to exercise. So I hope gyms purchase it.
Yeah, just baby steps. You just need to start out baby steps. I mean, just walking locally, just like around the block a couple times. I mean, and just start out slow. Don't start off with the big guys first, you know. Just start off very, very slow. That's how I had to do it, you know. You can't expect to get far like doing the Grand Canyon by doing two hikes. You gotta train for, you know, you gotta train for a little while. You know, your body's gotta be conditioned. Your body's gotta know what to expect, or else you're gonna throw it into shock, and then you won't be able to make it. You know,
yeah.
You don't want that. You wanna keep going. You wanna do what you wanna do. So, you know, and your body will tell you. It always does.
Yeah, that's very true. And you have to listen to your body. I just know that I always enjoyed exercising, but I always felt strange, like sports were so foreign to me. I hated sports, but did like running. I did like swimming. Horseback riding, stuff like that was always fun for me. And I like Pilates and yoga. So when I was diagnosed and I was told, well, all those things are really good for you.
So oh, yeah.
Like, well,
yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
But you told me before that you have an injury on your arm, and
It's not really an injury. It's just that I'm very weak. That's where my MS pretty much settled, was in my left arm, and my left hand. And there's times where I'll pick something up and totally forget that arm and that hand doesn't work, and I'll drop something, and it's totally out of the blue.
I understand that, because I've
done
things like that before. I don't currently have that problem, but I've been there.
You know, there's times where I can grip, and then there's other times where I can't grip, you know, where it's just very difficult.
Do you have problems putting, like, your sweaters on or... Like, Chris always has to help me put on my coat now, because I fell and I have a shoulder injury at the moment. And, so I literally can't lift my shoulder over my head. I can't lift my arm up, my left shoulder.
Have that and putting on gloves. I feel like, because I don't feel my fingers sliding into the glove, so I don't know which finger is going into what hole. It's usually always the wrong hole. So I've got two fingers in one hole. Or I'll go and I'll use my left hand and try to grab something out of a pocket, and I can't feel it.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, wait. So I have to go around and with my right hand and put my right hand into my left pocket and grab what I'm trying to grab, even though it's only one thing in there. but you can't feel
Are
it.
Are you right-handed or left-handed?
I'm right-handed. Yeah.
Okay.
So anything that I have to touch with my left hand, I can't. I can feel it, but I can't feel what the texture is. It all feels the same. It all feels like sandpaper. It's weird. It's very weird.
Yeah, there's a book that might interest you called Left Neglect. I don't know who the author is off the top of my head, but it's literally about a brain disorder where if you get this certain type of brain injury, you cannot see or realize things on your left side. So you realize everything on your right side, but you can't realize your left side. So the author talks about how she functions or Kate comes back to functionality. And it's a fictional story, but you wouldn't know it was. And the author spent a lot of time with people who had this disorder. And it's pretty amazing.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Huh. text me the name of that.
Yeah.
So I know.
I try to read a lot of interesting stories like that.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
About, you know, brain injury and you know, MS. Because I want to be as educated as possible.
Yeah, we want to try to understand as much as we can.
Yeah.
About it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. I know. It's a very confusing disease because usually a disease is something that is the same on in everybody a lot of times with certain things, and this disease is, like, different on everybody.
Yeah,
that's what's confusing about it. So.
Yeah, it very much is.
Yeah, but you know.
I think your story is a prime example of someone who's incredibly you're thriving in a very difficult situation.
Yeah, it's
you,
not easy.
You do very
well. I've got some bad days, but I try.
Everyone does in life. That's the case.
Right.
But you're very well loved.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I hear all about it all the time, and I'm very, very pleased to have you on the show tonight. And I feel thank you, very glad to know you and to consider you one of my friends.
Thank you. And you as well.
And yeah, and it was really great because when I was diagnosed, I was able to reach out to you and you told me that it was really difficult right then, but things would get better. And you know what? They did. They have gotten much better. And you know what? It took a while.
Yeah, because
it was an adjustment for my brain. But
because you're trying to understand what you're feeling. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part, is trying to understand your feelings, your what your body is trying to do.
Yeah. It's like looking over your life all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard thing to do.
Absolutely.
But we have 10 minutes left of the show, and I'd like to thank Crystal. I'd like to thank you for staying and listening to the show tonight.
I'm sorry.
Crystal?
Is she there?
I'd like to thank you for staying and listening to the show tonight.
what did you say?
I'd like to thank Crystal for staying and listening to the show tonight.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Tammy, I'd like to thank you very much for being on the show and offering me hope. And I know you probably offered a lot of people hope, too. And you can always ring me up anytime you want. And, you can always come here to the site and see what's going on. And on the next show, I will be having a bunch of people on. Maybe you would like to come on. I will be having... The next show is on the 13th of February.
Okay.
And
that's my long goodbye.
I will be having Chris on and Alana, and
I'm going to be having a bunch of people.
I will be having.
This is an older show.
And I will be having my friend Amanda. And you can come on, and it will be great. And I'll see everyone in the audience here again.
Thank you for coming on.
And once again, the Brain Injury Radio Network is excited to offer the new Survivor ID. These attractive cards include your photo, date of birth, address, phone number, personal statistics, and emergency contact information. There is a variety of cards to choose from at www.survivorid.org. You may also call 855-473-3711 to place your order. Protect yourself now for only $19.95. A portion of the proceeds will be returned to the Brain Injury Radio Network to help keep the lights on. Again, that website is www.survivorid.org. And the phone number is 855-473-3711. Don't miss out. As the clock is ticking up to 6:50 p.m. Pacific Time, I bid you all adieu. But please stay tuned to the next show, Late Night with Joey Giggles. It starts at 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific Time. See you on February 13th, same time, same station. Good night, all.
Good night. Thank you.